message this morning is found in Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 44. Six through 44. Let's just go ahead and pray. God, I just thank you. God, I thank you for the day. God, I thank you for the truth of your word. God, that I thank you that the things that you did, the power in which you moved, the way you delivered, the way you healed, God, that you still do that today. So, God, I pray that we would hear your word this morning. Any distraction, anything that would pull our hearts, our minds in a different direction, God, that you would take that away. God, that you would speak to us. God, that you would speak through me. God, that your words would be my words, God. And God, I pray that I hear from you, God, that we would hear from you, God, that we would take this and apply it. And we just pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark 6, starting at the 30th verse, this is the apostles gathered together with Jesus, and they reported to him all that had been done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while." For there were many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. And they went away in the boat to a secluded place by themselves. The people saw them going, and many recognized them, and they ran there together on foot from all the cities and got there ahead of them. And when Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd, and he felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it was already quite late, his disciples came to him and said, "This place is desolate and it is already late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding countryside and villages to buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them and said, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and spend 200 denarii on bread and give them something to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go look." And when they found out, they said, "Five and two fish." And he commanded them all to sit down by groups on the green grass. Then they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. And he took the five loaves and the two fish, and he looked up towards heaven, and he blessed the food, and he broke the loaves, and he kept giving them to the disciples to set before them. And he divided up the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And they picked up 12 full baskets of broken pieces and also of fish. And there were 5,000 men who had ate the loaves. I've entitled the message, "Hearing God in the Midst of Noise." So last week we looked at Herod's banquet, where John the Baptist was beheaded. Now, if we follow Mark's overall narrative, he presents a striking contrast between these two banquets. Okay, first, Herod's lavish feast, and the second, a humble gathering presided over by Jesus. Herod's banquet takes place in an opulent setting with fortified walls and a palace, specifically designed to cater to the elite and influential figures of society. The primary objective of his event is to solidify his power and influence among the people, a spectacle filled with extravagance and political maneuvering. But in stark contrast, Jesus' banquet unfolds amid the serene, picturesque landscape of Galilee, characterized by rolling hills and open fields. This gathering, though less extravagant, carries a far deeper significance. Unlike Herod's exclusive celebration, Jesus extends his invitation to all, demonstrating his compassion for the crowds who come to seek solace, healing, nourishment, and quite possibly the beginnings of revolution. His banquet is not merely a display of compassion, but a heartfelt response to the people's genuine needs. It embodies a radical shift away from the self-serving motives that we see in Herod. The impact of Jesus, this banquet, this feeding the 5,000 men on the early church is profound. It's a cherished memory among early believers. What's interesting is it's the only miracle documented in all four gospels. And Mark's account, the story continues in chapter 8, where they have another story. They have another feeding of the multitudes. Both banquets, interestingly, in Mark 6 and Mark 8, are followed by brief accounts and reflections. And these passages highlight the important theme. The crowd struggle to grasp the profound significance behind these miraculous events that Jesus is teaching them about God's kingdom. Now, like the crowds, too often, we may miss God at work in our lives, failing to comprehend and apply the truth God is trying to communicate to us. Our first point this morning is disciples need quiet time with Jesus. You see this constantly in the book of Mark, where Jesus is going away, or he's telling his disciples to go away privately. He's telling them to go pray. So verse 30, the apostles are gathered together, okay? And they hear this story about John the Baptist. They hear that he's beheaded. And some of Jesus' disciples were followers of John the Baptist before Jesus came along. In verse 31, Jesus says, "Come away by yourselves to a secluded place to rest for a while." They've got all the noise, all the chaos, all the emotion, okay? Jesus has been teaching, he's been preaching, there's been healings of demoniacs, and now they get this heavy thing that this Jesus cousin, this friend of Jesus, this co-worker in ministry of Jesus has been put to death. He's been beheaded. So he tells them, "Come away by yourselves to a secluded place to rest for a while." But the implication isn't just rest, but they're going to pray. They're going to have some quiet time with Jesus. They're going to push out all the noise, all the chaos, all that's going on around them. Okay? We as disciples, we need quiet time with Jesus. Okay? Amen. We can't do this on our own. We can't try to figure this out on our own. There's just so much chaos. Just God forbid you watch the news. There's chaos going on in the world today. Enough to stress people out, enough to cause an anxiety. That doesn't include the stress that goes on in our own personal lives. Our issues, our children's issues, the issues going on at work, the issues going on in our community, they can become a burden on us, okay? We can't run on empty tanks, okay? And when we try to do this on our own, that's what happens is we run on empty tanks, all the chaos, all the noise, it takes something out of us. We need prayer time. We need Bible time. We need fellowship with other Christians, okay? It's not just, hey, you need one of these, okay? You need all of these things. The disciples, they go away, okay? And they're out on this boat. It's quiet. Now, as soon as they get to their destination, chaos is going to ensue. They're going to be right back in the thick of it. But Jesus knows that instead of going around the shore, they're going to take this boat ride. And in this boat ride, they're going to have some quiet time. They're going to spend time with Jesus. The noise is going to be on the outside. So for us as Christians, okay, we need that prayer time. We need daily time with the Lord where we're praising God, we're worshiping God, but we're also hearing from God. But we also need Bible time, okay? We need to be reading God's word. We need to understand God's word, but we also need to make sure that we are able to measure what we think we're hearing from God to God's word to make sure that what we're hearing is actually accurate. Okay? There's people, you sometimes I had someone once tell me that they were unhappy with their spouse, okay? Things were not working out. They were having stress at home, and they came and said, "God told me to divorce my wife." Why did God tell you? Well, that's what God said. Does that line up with scripture? Has anything, you've not had any type of unfaithfulness, you've not had any type of physical abuse or anything. No, you just are no longer enamored with your wife. You don't feel the same way. No, you need to go back home and figure it out. You need to sit down with a therapist. You need to do some pastoral counseling. And so sometimes we need to make sure that we're measuring what we hear, what we think we're hearing, to the word of God and say, okay, does this match up with God's word? Or am I doing something contrary to scripture? But we need fellowship with other Christians, okay? We need someone to, sometimes that fellowship with other Christians, we think, well, I don't feel like going to church today. I got this going on, that going on. These things are going on in my life. No, we need to be around other Christians to be encouraged, to be loved on, to be strengthened, for them to speak in our lives. Sometimes we come to church and we think it's just about hearing the word of God. No, it's about worshiping. It's about being around other Christians. What you might need in church that morning is someone to come up and give you a hug and say, "Hey, I love you. God loves you, and God's not finished in your life." It might just being in worship, but we need to be around other Christians, not just on Sunday morning, but
Right.
when the church doors are open. We should try to be there. And I think we try as a church not to have, like, hey, I've seen churches that, they're running, 5, 6 days a week, and they expect you to be there. We're not asking that, but what we're saying is, hey, when the doors are open, when we're having service, let's come together and be encouraged. We can't run on empty tanks. And the only way to fill up our spiritual tank is by being together with other Christians, spending time in the Word, spending time in prayer to hear God's voice. Okay, but let me tell you, if you haven't figured out, there will always be distractions. Okay? Look, so he tells him, come away by yourselves to a secluded place. Why? Because there are many people coming and going. So much so that they didn't even have time to eat. They were so busy that they didn't have time to eat. Verse 32, they went away in a boat to a secluded place by themselves. There's always going to be distractions. There's always going to be things going on, okay? Focus in on the important things, the things that matter, the things that are significant, okay? Not everything is important. Not everything has to be done right now. Not everything has to be done today. Okay? We have to figure out what's important, and we have to figure out what's not important. A lot of times we think everything needs to be done. But again, not everything is important. Our relationship with God is important. Our relationship with our family is important. Okay? But we don't want to put things. Make things that are not important, not things that are not going to build us up as Christians. We don't want to put those things to the forefront. So, as disciples, we need quiet time with Jesus. Our second point this morning is disciples are obedient to the mission of Jesus. So, one of the things I like to point out here is that, look, they get to the other side, okay? Verse 33, the people saw them going, and many recognized them, and they ran together on foot from all the cities, and they got there ahead of them. So this isn't just for one city. There's enough, so much that 5,000 men show up, okay? Not people, men show up, including their families, okay? So there might be some single men showing up. There might be men showing up without their families, but it says 5,000 men. In verse 40, and women, okay? It says, Verse 44 says, there were 5,000 men who ate. This word is very specific to men. It's not a generalized, thinking men and women. That so men showed up, women showed up, children showed up. So it's not five. They didn't just feed 5,000. They're showing up to a crowd of maybe, 8, 9, 10, 11,000 people there. So Jesus goes, he goes ashore, verse 34, and he sees a large crowd and he feels compassion on them because they are sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. It's interesting. Mark doesn't tell us what he taught. We would love to know what Jesus taught here, okay? But what is interesting, what we know is Galilee is known to be a place of rebellion. It's known to be a place where this is where people who are rebels go. This is where people who are, they are not maybe the best of society. These are people that will revolt against the leadership of the time. They're going to revolt against the Romans. So these are the kind of people showing up. They're running ahead to see Jesus because what they're hoping is a lot of these people who are rebels is that they're hoping that Jesus will rise up to be this messianic figure who is a warlike and he's going to lead them to war. They think in Jesus, oh, look, this Jesus, look what he's doing all these things. He's doing these miracles. He's casting out demons. He could be our David. He could take up the sword and he can lead us into battle. And he can drive out the Romans. He can get rid of Herod's sons and their leadership. And he can restore Jewish rule to Judea. And Jesus says, oh, that's not my ministry. That's not why I came. I didn't come as a conquering warrior. I came to tell you about the kingdom of God. I came to show you what God is like, how to be in relationship with God, and how. So what Jesus is doing is radically different. Verse 35, it says, when it was already quite late, the disciples came to him and said, this place is desolate and it is already late. They're saying, hey, there is no food here. There's nothing for us to eat here, Jesus. And it's late in the day. Send them, they're going to tell them, send them away. Verse 36, send them away so that they may go to the surrounding countryside and villages to buy themselves something to eat. Jesus responds, but he said to them, you give them something to eat. Now they're confused. They're looking at the crowds, okay? They're hearing the noise of the crowds. They're looking at the crowds and they're thinking, yeah, we can't do this, okay? So one of these is disciples are obedient to the mission of Jesus, but we as disciples are on a mission for Jesus, okay? Bible says, go forth into all the world and to preach the gospel and teaching them to obey. Okay? That's what our calling is. That we're supposed to live it out by word and deed. Our life should model Jesus. Our words should model Jesus. Our life should point people to Jesus. Our words should point people to Jesus, okay? But let me explain something. Yes, we're on a mission for Jesus, but we are part of Jesus' mission. This isn't our mission. This isn't something that we've just decided that I'm going to do this. I'm going to do my own thing. This is my plan. This is my purpose. I'm going to do this my way, right? No, we're doing it his way. That's why Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane says, not my will, Lord, but your will be done. Because here the disciples, they're looking at it saying, you want us to feed them? Look, now look what they're going to tell them. Here, verse 37, he says, you give them something to eat. And he said to them, and they said to him, shall we go and spend 200 denarii on bread and give them something to eat? 200 denarii would be like 3.5 years worth of wages for an average Judean at this time. So what they're saying is, Jesus, have you seen the crowds? You want us to go now into the cities and spend 3.5 years of wages to feed all these people? They don't even say fish, they just say bread here, okay? Jesus, we don't have enough people to go. First off, they probably don't have enough money. They probably don't have enough people to do this thing, okay? Then Jesus says, how many loaves do you have? Go look. And they found they had 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Okay. We would be lucky to feed. We couldn't even really feed the people here with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. So you can only imagine what the disciples are thinking. Jesus says he commanded them to sit down by groups on the green grass. And they sat down in groups of hundreds. And they sat down in groups of 50. Okay? This is what Moses does. Okay? He does this in the Old Testament, is when the groups are broken down by groups of 1,000. Then they break down into groups of in the hundreds. And then they break down into groups of 50. And it's a way to separate out the groups. He's setting them up for what's going to come next. So if we're on the part, if disciples are a part of the mission of Jesus, that means we have to be obedient to the mission of Jesus. We have to do what Jesus is asking. We seek his will, not our will. The disciples' answer to this is, well, it's impossible, okay? Their idea is that this is impossible, Jesus. There's no way for us to go do this. We don't have enough money. We don't have the resources. But the disciples are obedient. They do what Jesus asks, okay? So they get the people. They're sitting down by these groups, okay? It brings us to our third point this morning. Some of our problems require supernatural solutions, okay? First, look at this. They have, let's just say for round numbers, they have 10,000 people, okay? And they have 5 loaves and 2 fish. There is no way that you can feed that many people with that. So feeding the multitudes was impossible. There's too many people. There's not enough food. They don't have the logistics to do any of this. They don't have the money. Okay. It is an impossibility. But yet Jesus is telling them, do this. And the disciples, they're obedient. Verse 41, and he, meaning Jesus, he takes the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and he looks toward heaven, and he blessed the food. And he broke the loaves, and he kept giving them to the disciples to set up before them. And he divided up the 2 fish among them. As Jesus looks up, he lifts up this bread, and he blesses it. And he's lifting it up to heaven and saying, God, you, Father, you are the one who blessed us. You're the one who gave us this stuff. And it says that he kept doing this. So he's breaking this and he's separating it out. And it's just like supernaturally that God is doing this. Jesus realizes this is beyond the solution of man. This is only something that God can do. There are times when we don't have enough. There's times when we face the impossible. What do we want to do in those times? We want to plan. We want to think. We want to connive. We want to scheme. Let me do this. Let me pick up a second job. Let me do this. Oh, I'm having issues with, about my children. Let me hire an attorney. Let me do this. Or, we're having health issues. And instead of saying, God, you know what? I need you to heal me right now. And in this time, and we're going out to YouTube and we're looking, oh, if I drink a little bit of apple cider vinegar, or if I do this or I do that, that, I can have this healing instead of looking and saying, God, you are the only one that can provide this solution. Sometimes we just don't have enough and we need a supernatural solution. And we're disciples of Jesus. We have access to supernatural solutions. We have access to solve problems that we can't do on our own. I don't understand why we as Christians, we try so hard to do it on our own. We have a God that does the impossible, a God who sets demoniacs free. We have a God who can feed 5,000 men and women and children. That's a group of 10,000. If he can do the miraculous, he's still in the business of moving in the lives of his disciples and the lives of his people. His thing, seek God for an answer to your impossible situation. Maybe it's your specifically, maybe it's for the church. But again, some of these problems that we face as disciples, they require a supernatural solution that only God can provide. Verse 42. They ate and were satisfied. Let me translate this for you. They had enough to eat. They didn't need no more. They weren't going, this is not a snack. This isn't a holdover meal that Jesus is providing. He meets their needs. They go, their bellies are full. Okay? But not only are their bellies full, that he has spoken not only to their belly, but he's spoken to their soul. He's spoken to their mind. Here's the miracle of it. So a lot, I've seen sometimes. Okay, let me pick on liberal scholars here. Liberal scholars will say, well, what Jesus does is he prevails upon the compassion and the mercy of the crowd, and they begin providing food for one another. No, that misses the point of what this passage is saying. This is a supernatural solution, so much so. Verse 43 says, and they picked up 12 full baskets of broken pieces and also a fish. They started off with five loaves of bread, two fish. They feed 10,000 people and they have more leftovers than they began with. They began with five loaves that you could put in one basket easily. But when they end, there's 12 baskets, one for each disciple, essentially, that they have so much left over that they have one for each disciple. Then there were 5,000 men who ate the loaves. Again, very specific. This is men. Women and children were there as well. We think maybe, we're talking again, 8,000 to 10,000 people. Here's our big idea this morning. You can't do the Christian life by yourself. Okay? We can't do the Christian life by ourselves. Okay, there's too much noise, okay, coming in from the crowds around us. There's too much noise coming out of our own lives. There's too much noise coming out of our children's lives. There's just too much noise. And what happens is the noise drowns God out sometimes. It causes us to take our eyes off of God. It causes us to take our eyes off the author and the finisher of our faith, and we begin to focus on the problem instead of the solution or the one who can provide the solution. And so when we surround ourselves, when we're filled with the Spirit, when we're surrounded by other Christians, we are reminded, no, you don't got to figure this out on yourself. You don't have to go through this with yourself. Because there's just sometimes, I don't know why God doesn't provide the solution we're looking for, but what he does provide is he provides the people of God. He provides people to come around us, to stand with us, to cheer for us, to pray for us, to encourage us. What they do is they help us to filter out the noise, to get rid of all the noise of the crowds. You can't do the Christian life by yourself. Okay? You need other people committed to the mission of Jesus to support you. And you're going to support them. And you're going to support one another. And you're going to support other people. And you guys, we will encourage one another. We will spur one another on to godliness, to faithfulness, to good works. There's times when we will hug one another and say, hey, God is still God. He's still working in our lives. He's not finished. There's times when we are going to rejoice with one another. We will cry with one another. But we need other Christians to do that. And these have to be Christians who are committed to live out the mission of Jesus. I'm not talking about people who are Christian in name only. People who say they're Christian or cultural Christians. I'm about people who are sold out and excited about Jesus, because you know what? What they have will eventually is going to spread on to you. Okay? It's like I'll tell you, if you get in a room full of sick people, what happens? You get sick. Okay? If you hang around with people who they like to work out, they make good choices, eventually you're going to get in and do that stuff with them. Spend time, get around other Christians who are committed. They will support you. Okay? Here's the other thing. You need quiet time with Jesus to hear his voice. Okay? It is noisy. Okay? There is noise going on in the world. Okay? I don't know however you decide to consume media, whether it's TV, okay, radio, reading it, social media, however you consume the news, there is noise out there, okay? And there are distractions and things that are going to come up that will try to keep us from hearing the voice of God. We need to get along with Jesus to hear his voice, to hear him encourage us, to hear him say, hey, I see you're struggling. I've got something better for you. I'll tell you, let me tell you this. If you're not getting quiet time with Jesus, I don't care how much Holy Ghost you think you have in your life, you're not gonna hear the Spirit. The Spirit is not gonna work in you and move in your life and speak to you in the same way. If you're not getting time quiet with God, remember, well, we know that God is a Trinity, so we know there's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but He puts His Holy Spirit into us to dwell in us, to tabernacle with us, to be with us. But if we're not spending time with Jesus, we are not going to hear his voice. So here's the question this morning. Are you getting the support you need to filter out the noise and to hear God? Or are we hearing God, but the noise is there, so we're not really getting what we need from God? Okay, we're there. We're in the sanctuary. We're hearing God. We're maybe even reading our Bible, or maybe we're praying. We're doing these things, but what we're not fully committed, and so the noise is getting to us, and we're not hearing it. Are you getting the support you needed? You need. If not, hey, you got to get in there. You got to commit to be around other Christians. You got to commit to getting that quiet time with Jesus, praying, listening, hearing his voice, spending time in the Word. It's the only way that we can hear God in the midst of the noise. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. God, I thank you. God, I thank you for your word. God, that I thank you that you speak in the midst of the storm, that you speak in the midst of the noise, and the God that you want us to hear your voice, to be encouraged, to be strengthened, to be drawn back to you, God. And God, I pray that you just touch each and every one of us, that you bless us, that you keep us, that you draw us closer to you. And God, that we just participate in the mission of Jesus. And I pray this now, in Christ's name, amen.